Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. My name is Susan Goodson, your host of Our Stories Matter. I am the mother of three children who have struggled with addiction. And so our topic today is about how do we hold on to our hearts while loving an addict. And our leading lady today is my dear friend, Patty Solares. I think I said that right, Patty? Solares?
Yes. Okay. Solares, yes.
Okay. I asked Patty to join us today to help moms understand how to better keep their hearts intact and not lose themselves while loving their addicts. And Patty and I have talked numerous times about if this is even a possibility, but I believe that we can do it, and she's here to share her story. So good afternoon, Patty. I'm so glad that you could be here today.
Hi, Susan. Thank you.
Hi.
And thank you so much for this honor.
Okay, so please take a minute and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, gladly. I'm a proud mother of three adult children. One of them struggles with addiction, and I'm a wife, and I'm an executive assistant at a very successful biotech company, and I live here in the Bay Area.
And you
I'm also from Guatemala, and I have two grandchildren.
Yeah, you have two grandbabies. I love
yes,
it. Yes. Okay, so are you ready for some questions?
Absolutely. Let's do this.
All right. Here we go. Let's jump in. So I know that you have a story of courage, tenacity, and hope. Are you comfortable sharing that with us?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. Tell us.
Well, I don't have a monopoly on the suffering that goes on with addiction. It's very prevalent in my family, unfortunately. My father died in his addiction. He was almost a lifetime alcoholic. He died at 63. Mm. And then, of course, when you're brought up in that type of environment, that's all you know. So then I went and I married someone who struggled with addiction. I married him and proceeded to have three babies with him. One, the first child, her name was Eleni, and she died at almost 4 months of sudden infant death syndrome. And then after that, I had two beautiful boys right after she died. And then when I started seeing that life was unbearable with him, I said I did not want to give my children that life that I had with my father. So I decided to divorce him when my kids were really, really young. I mean, Manny, my oldest, he was 3 years old, and then Christian was one. I proceeded to get married again because that's all I knew. I got married at 18 on my birthday. And so all I knew was to be in a relationship. Of course, I was seeking that which was not given to me, right? And that acceptance and that love. And so you search for love in all the wrong places, you know, not trying to be that song, but that's exactly what I did. And so husband number two, wonderful man, wonderful human being, helped me raise my two boys and gave me a daughter. I have my third daughter, Angelina. I'm just a very, very proud mom of her. So then I felt like God in the universe returned a daughter to me. And I I proceeded living with John, and I thought was going to be a good life, but I just wasn't happy, you know. And so then I divorced him because I thought life is too short, and I'd been struggling all my life, and I said, no, and it's my time to be happy. And I married my childhood sweetheart.
Mm.
His name is Willie. I was 11 years old when I met him, and he was my crush. And so God and destiny and the universe decided we could be together. And so we're living now, it's almost 21 years of marriage, and he has been my rock when I discovered that my middle son, Christian, was beginning to have the tendencies that his father had. And so it's been a struggle. He is 33 years old now and still struggling. Mm-hmm. But I have never left his side. I have learned to love him. Most importantly, I've learned to love myself and my life. And in doing so, helping him relieve some of that guilt. Right. Addicts are they get really bogged down with so much guilt of all the things that they do because of their disease. And so in showing my son that, yes, you have this disease and I love you, but when he's in his disease, I love him from afar. And when mm-hmm. he's sober, he knows he could count on me. And I continue to live my life. It is the most difficult thing. I mean, I've been through, I forgot to tell you that the boy's father proceeded to kidnap my oldest son when I divorced him. So it was, I've been through alcoholism. I've been through my child's death. I've been through the kidnap of my son. I've been through all of this, which is heartbreaking. But this addiction from, you know, with Christian, has broken my heart, but it has not killed me. It has made me stronger.
So how old was Christian when Manny was kidnapped?
Christian was one.
Okay.
Oh, no,
and
sorry.
How...
He was two. I'm sorry. He was kidnapped at four.
Okay. So Manny was four and Christian was two. And how long was Manny gone?
2.5 years.
So it took you 2.5 years to get your son back because your ex-husband took him back to Guatemala?
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
So you were fighting to get him back over borders.
Over borders.
Okay.
Yep.
So looking at that, looking at the idea that for whatever reason you have a two-year-old that is we are... As human beings, we seek meaning. Even as a two-year-old, we're like, what's going on? What's happening? Why is this
mm-hmm.
happening? Where's my brother? My mom is crying. What's going on? And we don't know how to give that meaning except for to make it about us. Because that's how kids get to do. And they're like, there must be something wrong with me that this is happening. So do you think it's possible that when Manny's dad took him and left Christian behind, something happened inside of Christian that said, I am not good enough for my daddy to take me too. Do you think that may have led up to some of his need to use in order to
yes.
live through the pain of all
yes.
of that?
Yep. He had to develop this coping mechanism at his
mm-hmm.
young age of two. And then
mm-hmm.
going through that, and then 2 years later, his sister was born because I jumped
oh.
right into another relationship. And I'll never forget, I have a video of when I'm changing Angelina, and he's looking at me. He's 4 years old, and he's like, Mom, I always thought it was going to be just you and me.
Oh.
Right? And it's so, imagine, you know, the middle child syndrome, right? His brother's gone. His dad took him home. you know, his dad, even though he struggles with addiction, he was a very good father, mm-hmm. you know, and so he felt that love those first 2 years of his father. And then it was taken away from him abruptly. And then on top of that, I was so young. I was 28, 29, you know. And so then God, I knew nothing. I thought I knew, you know, but I knew nothing. And so I didn't know how to deal with a 2-year-old and then a 4-year-old and then my daughter being born. And I became an obsession to get Manny back. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't until this woman, this beautiful friend of mine, she told me, you need to look at the blessings you have in front of you. You need to let go of Manny because mm-hmm. you have Christian and you have Angelina. You have your daughter. You have a daughter, a beautiful daughter, and you're not concentrating on them because I just wanted to get Manny back. Mm-hmm. And that's what changed. That's where everything changed for me. I physically lifted my hands and I said, I'm giving you my son. You know, I'm here that when you just let go, let God. And 2 months later, or 3 months later, that was January, and April of 1995, I got my son back.
Wow.
Miracle. Yeah.
That's the power of surrender.
Correct.
That's really the power of surrender. Okay, Patty, we are going to take a quick moment and recognize one of our supporters and partners. So please stand by and we'll be right back. Women Lead Radio is brought to you today by Connected Women of Influence and our partner, National University. National University is proud to be one of the largest private nonprofit universities founded in 1971. The National University mission is to provide accessible, achievable higher education to adult learners. Today, National University educates students from across the United States and around the globe with over 170,000 alumni worldwide. Thank you for your support, National University, and to all of our sponsors and partners. Okay, Patty, so back to you. So, can you tell our guests how you and I met?
Yes. It's a lovely story. Actually, it's one of kismet, and I believe in also the universe and God just putting us together, knowing where I needed it the most. I was sitting at a restaurant with girlfriends of mine from high school, and they saw that how sad I was and how distraught I was of everything that was going on with Christian. And they're like, do you have any support? You know, and there must be support out there. And they're like, go into Facebook, I found your page, let's say. And I looked you up and you accepted me and we just started sharing. And then I recognized that you were an author of this book called Letting Go of Shame, Letting Go of the Shame. And when I saw and recognized that you are a mother of three that struggled with addiction, I couldn't even fathom that idea because I was barely making it with one. I couldn't imagine three. And so I read the book. And that book changed my life. And so I just followed you, Susan, is really what I did. I just kept following you and then would go to your retreats and just, you know, I did the coaching session with you. And, yeah, you and that book changed my life.
I love it. What about it? What inspired you to buy the book? And can you share a couple ideas on what resonated with you that helped you?
What inspired me was there's this woman that could take the time to write a book about her three addict children. I needed to know about. I needed to know more. And I needed to educate myself more. That was one. And the other, what resonated to me was the dignity part. The dignity, when you have an addict child, their dignity is like very low. Their self-esteem, mm-hmm. everything about them, and so, and the guilt, right? And so I was taught that by letting them go and letting them pick themselves up from the ground up, letting them feel whatever it is that, or go through whatever it is that they have to go through without me helping him, was giving him his dignity back. And I love my son so much that that changed my life, because once you let go, mm-hmm. and you let God and you let the universe take care of them and you take care of yourself, and there's dignity in that. I wanted to give him his dignity back. I don't know when he lost it, mm-hmm. but him getting that dignity back was so important to me. And I had another addict tell me, do you love your son? Do you really love your son? And I was like, what kind of a stupid question is that? Of course I love my son. And he said, let him go. Let him be homeless. Let him live in the streets. Let him do whatever it is that he's doing, because he's killing himself slowly anyways. Right. So let him go, and you will see. And you have to start living your life. And I took it to heart. And that's what I've been doing.
Do you think it's possible to love an addict without having your heart breaking all the time?
Yes, I never thought that was possible ever, but yes, through education on the disease, you have to get educated, reading books, going to support groups, and loving yourself, because mm-hmm. we have to be very selfish about our own lives. We matter. We forget as mothers, we forget that we were once human beings without children. And if we could go back to being that person, I had to go back to Patty, because I had lost her since 18. I've lost her. Mm-hmm. And so that journey of getting to know me, of just loving myself and saying my life mattered and I deserve to be happy regardless of what my children decided to do, that was excruciatingly hard, but very, very, very rewarding. Because, yes, I now have learned that it's a journey. It's not something that, once Christian stops using drugs and drinking, I'll be happy. No, happiness comes in moments. Mm-hmm. And that's, the happiness is within that journey. So now, even though before, my friends would, let's go out, let's go do this. And I would be, I didn't want to. I wanted to, I didn't even want to work. I didn't even want to live. I wanted to be in bed and I wanted to be sucking my thumb and crying all day long. But when I would force myself little by little to do it and just do and go out and have fun, I discovered that I could have happiness in these moments, even though later on at night I would think about him and cry for him and all that. But they were moments of happiness and I deserved them.
You know, it's interesting. I think when we start out as dealing with the pain of loving an addict, it's like a rosary bead. And the rosary beads have that little tie in the, you know, that ties the beads together. And
they
it's like
the
beads are the suffering, and those teeny weeny little connectors are those moments of peace. And as we grow and learn about the disease and recognize that it's not our fault, the beads become the peaceful moments and the little connectors become those glitches where we might hurt for a minute. It's sort
Amen.
Of like
yes.
it flips. Did you feel guilty not being able to help your son?
Oh, yeah. There were times when I remember when he was homeless and he would say, Mom, I just need to take a shower and, you know, do laundry or whatever. And I would let him in, take a shower and all that. We would feed him. And then to have to drive him back to that shelter was one of the hardest. I mean, just driving back from the shelter to the house, I would just be sobbing. And before, the pain used to linger for days. And now, I'm not going to lie, I mean, when he falls back into his disease, I feel the anxiety, the pain, and everything that you go through when he's in it. But now it no longer lingers. Now I have my tools, and those tools are so powerful to me. And you know it. I mean, it's like when I feel that I'm going to fall off the ledge, you're the first person I will text, and I'm like, I need 1 minute. I just need those tools to be. I need reminded of them again.
What are some of the tools that you use?
I use the fear, right? It's just fear, false evidence appearing real. So I'll never forget. I was like, oh, my God, he's drunk, and he's going to come here to the house, and he's going to drive that way, and he's going to go kill somebody. That's my biggest fear. And then you're like, no. What is it? What are the facts here? The only thing that you know for a fact is that he's drunk. He's not shown up in your house. You don't know that he's driving. So you just focus on what is real and not the fear of what could be.
Right. Stay in the moment. You know, when our minds start to feed us false stories of the future, we're in trouble. That's when the fear hits, the depression hits, the feeling out of control hits, and we spin a whole story that makes us sick, and it doesn't even happen.
It doesn't, 99% of the time it doesn't even happen.
I know. Our minds are so creative, you know, and we're just trying to grasp some sense of control, and we don't have any.
We don't have
any control over this. His, what I recognized, and I think you've recognized it as well, is that my children's journey on this earth was designed long before their dad and I got together and conceived them. There are no mistakes. They are here in exactly the place they're in to learn whatever lesson they came to this earth to learn.
Yes.
And as moms, I think we have to get out of the way.
Absolutely. And you've taught me to get out of the way and to just give them back up to God. And just let him, I just love him now. Before, I remember I remember one time he would be drunk or high or whatever, and I'd hit him over the head. I'd slap him. I would be like, what are you doing? You know that. And now I've learned to just love him. I just love him. It's not his fault. You know,
no,
he is a victim of this disease, and he's got to figure this out on his own. And all I could do is love him.
I remember when my oldest son ended up homeless in a van with his girlfriend going to a food line. And I had a friend that was the CEO of the YMCA, and she would let them go shower there, you know. And now last weekend, he got married to his childhood best friend. It took him 30 years to come together. But a lot of that happened because I quit trying to save him. I was like, you know what? If you're going to fall, you're going to fall. And what I liked about what you said just a few minutes ago is that you know you have a responsibility to live your life while you give him the dignity to live his life.
Absolutely. I am a creature of God. I am a daughter of God. And he gave me this life, and it's a beautiful life. I have a really good life, and I have to treasure it. And another thing that really helped me is to focus on my gratitudes. If every single day, I could, regardless of what's going on with my son, if I have 5 or 10 things or 15 things that I could list on my journal, because I journal, then I am one blessed person, you know?
Wow.
I mean, it's like I have to live in gratefulness.
That will change our lives when you can focus on what you're grateful for. I listened to a podcast the other day that talked about having a Life Loves You journal. And at the end of every day, you write down 5 things that showed you how life loved you today through people. You know, we can't have miracles without one another. You and I got to connect and the miracles got to be created because we were like-minded mothers who had broken hearts who came together and said, you're not alone.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that. Patty, just in case our listeners may want to reach out to you after the show or they have any questions, is it okay with you if they connect with you, if they have questions about, you know, the what is how did you get here?
Of course.
Okay, how would you like them to contact you?
Of course. My personal email is Lilly Patty 65.
Lilly Patty
65 okay. @gmail.com.
Okay. And when you got the book, did you get it on Amazon or did you text me and say, can you send me a book? I can't remember how you got it.
It was Amazon. I got it through Amazon. I got that one.
Okay.
The second one about the God's whisper,
when God whispers.
When God whispers,
yeah.
That one.
Uh-huh.
That one you sent me.
Okay. And tell the story quickly about when I did that retreat and you and I had never met, you were like, oh my gosh, we got to go. And you brought your girlfriends to a retreat in Sedona.
Yeah, there were, it was myself and then, four
mm-hmm.
other women. And
mm-hmm.
they were also, it was just kind of like the vines, right? And it was just like
right.
you were touching me and I was the one that touched my girlfriends and they went and they enjoyed it at the time. And there's one, you know, my daughter's godmother, Luch, who is still part of the
yep.
pack, right? I mean, it's
yep.
like, yeah,
yep.
yeah, it's kind of like when you, for lack of a better, it's when you find Jesus, right? And you want everybody else to know, right? And you want to spread the word. And if it sticks with one person, then so be it. You feel like you touched one life, and that's there's a blessing in that.
Yeah, I am so grateful that that you and I were able to connect and become friends. I think we're running out of time, so let me just say that I'd like to give a special thanks to all our listeners, both in the U.S. and internationally, as we are an international show. And after our show today, you can listen to Women Lead Radio on all subscriptions and podcasts, specifically Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcast, and iHeartRadio. It has been my sincere pleasure to be your host today. Thank you for listening. And as soon as we hear the music, the show will be over. So, Patty, is there any last-minute advice you'd like to share with the mothers out there?
Yes, always let go, let God or let the universe, and just remember you matter. And
mm-hmm.
it's okay to be selfish with our lives.
Mm-hmm. And you really believe that whatever is going to happen is part of the divine plan for your son. Does that make
it easier
yes. for you not
Absolutely.
To be so afraid?
Yes, it does. It helps tremendously. I just, once you have that faith that things happen the way it's supposed to happen, there are no coincidences and there's always, always a reason why things happen the way that they do, and you're going to be better for it.
Mm-hmm. And they are too. So, Patty, thank you so much. You are
a
treasured friend, and I am so grateful for having had the courage to write the book because I thought God was crazy when he told me, and then to have an editor that said, you need to go as deep as you possibly can because I didn't want to relive those moments. And she said, the difference between having a good book and a great book is to go deep into your heart and share your heart with those other moms. And so
yeah.
in my doing that, it got to help you. And in helping you, you got to help others and continue to help others.
That's the only way.
Mm. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Susan.
I appreciate you. All right. Have a great day, Patty.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.